So it's 15 after, thereabouts, so we'll go ahead and start. First of all, thanks everybody for coming. This is Defending Black Box Web Applications. And I'm Sean Moyer. I work for a company called Agora Digital Security. I do a lot of web security. One thing that's a little different in my interest is that the defense stuff for me is a little more interesting than the offense. I think it's a lot harder to do. And I don't think there's enough talk about it. So thanks for those of you that are sitting here that agree. So where this started, this was kind of a rude awakening for me. I do a lot of work with web application firewalls, web security. My customers have, you know, NetContinuum and Netegrity and Forum and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, I'm like everybody else. I've got, you know, four or five boxes in the basement running blogs and websites and things like that. And I came down to breakfast one morning. My wife said, you know, your daughter's blog is wellsfargo.com today. And so that was really embarrassing. So it was a zero-day file inclusion vulnerability. I had, you know, PHP and safe mode and all the other kind of good lockdown stuff. But there was a bug in the app that was known and patched for, and turned out the same bug was in another place in another PHP on that blog. And there was a gentleman in Amsterdam that was taking advantage of it to upload phishing sites. So actually right now, if you go to work and you use web filtering and you go to audreysworld.org, it shows up as a phishing site in all the net filtering software. It's tough to get out of that database too, so that's kind of hard. My mom can't get to the site at work anymore. So anyway, so that kind of started me down the path of, hey, if I've got this stuff at home, I'm not going to go out and buy a forum box or a, you know, NetContinuum box. What can I do with free tools, with just the stuff that's readily available out there, and build some web application firewalling stuff into my web apps? So, you know, the intent of all that was to start with the black box app concept. I think a lot of us deal with this at work too. It's an application where you don't have access to the code, or you don't have the resources to make changes to the code. You have known vulnerabilities that you've got to do something about, and there's nothing available right now to solve it. So, you know, HRMSs, CMSs, corporate wikis, blogs, you know, we've got all this kind of stuff now. And so, you know, another definition is anything that you personally didn't audit line by line. So that kind of makes a pretty big scope for what we want to defend. So, you know, the bad news is front-ending security is not a panacea. It's not going to solve it for you. You need, you know, everything the OS guys are saying is true. You need to, you know, have aggressive code auditing and reusable input validation libraries, all that kind of stuff. Sooner or later, you are going to have to fix this stuff. But the good news is you can do a little bit more than you're doing now. It's pretty simple to stop kind of known attacks, stuff that's out there in CVE, things that are being kind of actively exploited. You know, it's better than waiting to get owned. I'd rather feel like I was doing something than just sit and wait. And I used to give people the answer of, you know, you just need to run static HTML on everything and you know, read-only web directories. But that answer hasn't done me any good since about 95. So it probably isn't doing you any good either. So we've got to deal with this stuff. So the Web Security Gateway is an HTTPS proxy, an HTTP proxy on crack. It's an OSS version of what NetContinuum and you know, all the other web application firewall vendors are doing. So we're taking and building a hardened web proxy distribution with a series of security modules, and it's also a central enforcement and auditing point for all of our web traffic going in and out. Additional features, we can hide and rewrite generated content. We can scan and validate post-gets. It's also a place to do SSL acceleration. You can run, you know, ClearText HTTP on the backside if you so choose, and front end, you know, your security and authentication there, tie into ACE server, you know, whatever else you want to use, SiteMinder. You can also get some minimal sort of rudimentary XML firewalling features out of this, which is pretty cool. You can also do content caching acceleration. If you're my mad Visio skills, this is just kind of a general overview of kind of what it looks like. So you've got a box that sits in the middle between your backend sort of web applications. You're firewalled in such a way that the only traffic allowed in or out is through that gateway. You're adding an inspection, normalization, scanning, rewriting layer there. You're rewriting headers, get requests, session ID stuff, you know, all the goodies. So on the platform, you're going to want some kind of hardened host, no different than if you were building you know, a firewall or a proxy or anything else. I like doing OpenBSD. I do this on OpenBSD in Gen 2. But you could run Bastille and lock down, you know, just about any kind of Unix distro. You just want to rip out all services, compilers, all the other kind of stuff other than the proxy stuff that's running on it. One thing that I would point out is that we are parsing all traffic that's going in and out of the site. So your potential for load on that box is going to be pretty high. You want something with, you know, multiple procs and a lot of RAM. It's a lot like IDS sizing. You're going to look at the number of filtering expressions that you have, and then you're going to need to kind of size appropriately. So there's no sort of hard and fast answer. It's going to vary for your environment. So why Apache? I'm not a huge Apache fan. I looked at doing this with Squid, Delegate, and some other tools. I also looked at, you know, can we, you know, write an entire HTTP 1.1 stack? And the thing about Apache is that it is a very content-aware platform. It's primarily a web content delivery platform, but it also has some proxying, caching kind of functionality in it. So, you know, why reinvent the wheel? With Apache 2, you've got integration with PCRE, which makes for really fast regex and gives you a lot of parsing abilities that are a lot more efficient than they were in the 1x code. There's also a lot of free tools and a lot of people that are working on this, so you can kind of aggregate all that stuff into an application firewall. So this is kind of the data flow. We're coming through mod security and mod evasive. We're going into mod proxy and doing kind of our reverse proxy operations. And then we're running through some header rewrites, get post rewrites, param checks and all that into our kind of black box web application. And then we're funneling that back out on the response side and doing any other kind of rewrites that we want to do or any other kind of filtering expressions, rewrite our headers as they come back out. And we've also got caching. You can also do with mod proxy balancer some HTTP load balancing here. You know, why not? It's a front-end gateway. You know, mod proxy balancer is pretty stable, used pretty widely by a lot of different people. So, you know, it's a good kind of sell for your boss. By the way, it's a load balancer, so you can rip out your F5 box, you know, if you want to. So, as far as building Apache, what we're going to do is we're going to rip out anything other than our caching and our proxying modules. So we're going to do disables on all of the other components. So we're going to rip out auto index. We're going to rip out mod negotiation. We're going to rip out, you know, anything that delivers content because we're just doing this reverse proxying. But what's cool about it is then we can still integrate into some of these modules that are used with the filter chain directive to do some of the content rewriting and content filtering. It's a good idea to do static compiles, you know. Unfortunately, some of the modules that I mess with want to link against external libraries, and it makes it a little trickier to build them static. Still working on some mods to some of the source for that, but, you know, ideally you want everything built static and integrated into Apache source, and that's something that I'm working on. So, so let's just say we were given an Apache talk at Black Hat, and like, oh, 6 or 7 days before Black Hat, somebody announced a buffer overflow. He's here, by the way. So that's kind of embarrassing, too. The good news with the mod rewrite vulnerability is that it's actually a very specific set. It actually is counter to pretty much everything I'm talking about, which is you're using a really generic rewrite expression. So basically the way that the mod rewrite exploit works is that you're injecting tokens into the front end that kind of hook into mod LDAP stuff. So if you do $*$1 as a rewrite expression, you're in trouble. But by the way, if you do that, you're also an open proxy in our scenario. So that's another reason not to do that. Everything that we're going to be talking about is about using really narrow, really specific kind of rewrite stuff. So I was pleased to know that everything that was in the talk was not vulnerable, but I would say, you know, go out, get the latest and greatest code for Apache. And something else I don't really know an answer to yet because I haven't been able to spend as much time on it is if you're doing ProPolice or you're doing SSP or some other kind of stack execution protection compiler, whether that's going to come into play, this particular vulnerability or not. And I don't know the answer to that at the moment. So if somebody does, let me know. So when we build our proxy, when we build our environment, something, if you guys do Apache and you're not using mod security, you know, you should be. Something that we want to do on our proxy is we're going to do chroot. Usually that's a huge pain in the ass. You're going to take a whole bunch of libraries and you're going to build the whole environment and then you're going to run it in chroot. So with mod security, you can do a pre-fork chroot, which is like the same thing that PostFix and QMail and things like that do, a lot of the DJB tools. So you load all your libraries and stuff, and then you flip to chroot after library load. So that's a pretty nice little one line to go, hey, we're in a chroot mode. We're going to add a series of external modules. These all bundle into the web security gateway. So we've got mod security, mod proxy HTML, line edit, mod publisher, And then Modavasive, which is a very cool traffic throttling and rate limiting kind of tool for Apache. Another little props to Mod Security. Go home and put it on everything that you have. It's a great tool. And, you know, send Ivan cookies. He's a cool guy. So header rewrites, this is just kind of at the base level. We want to be able to defeat HTTP fingerprinting, and we want to make it very difficult for anybody to see what kind of web environment we've got behind ours. Back in the day, what everybody used to do is mod the Apache source and or use mod headers and just put, like, here's my banner. And then that was, you know, in theory enough to make it difficult to figure out what you're running in the environment. Well, last year, the folks at NetSquare released HTTP print, which is a statistical analysis tool on HTTP requests, which goes through and kind of defines patterns based on error codes that come back and header data and all this kind of stuff, and then uses that, despite what banners are, despite what anything else is, to say, hey, this is the environment you're running. Now, the cool thing about that is, because it's statistical analysis, the way that you defeat it is to be anomalous. You know, if you're sufficiently different from their fingerprint database, same deal as defeating OS fingerprinting, if you're sufficiently anomalous, then you're going to be under the radar. So what I did was, you know, add a bunch of gratuitous headers, mod out, you know, rip out a lot of the platform-specific stuff, like powered by, oh, God, if any of you people are running public websites saying, I'm powered by ASP.NET, you know, go home and fix that. I also insert, you know, this header set public guy is a header that IIS shows that's an options header. So we kind of add that in there to kind of spoof things. ASP session ID, PHP session ID, go ahead and throw some gratuitous fake cookies in just to make it interesting. Header set via an Xcache here, what that's doing is making it look like we have a pretty substantial back-end proxying environment beyond what's actually there so that people might throw some SQUID attacks at us and things like that. Something that's interesting that I'm still working on, and it's basically my Sifu, so my like reading assignment on the plane is rereading KNR, is mod user track is a really, really cool session ID generation that uses generation tool that uses really solid crypto and RNG to make really good cookies. So mod user track and mod headers hooked together would give you a state table that you could map PHP session ID, ASP session ID, JSP session ID on the back end. If you stored that stuff in a state table, you could take your requests coming in and then remap them on the backside and not leak session IDs. And if you had weak session IDs or you were prone to session ID injection and stuff, there's a mapping there that's taking place. And if it's done right, the state table mapping would then mean that session ID injection wouldn't work because there wouldn't be a matching pointer in state. So that one's in progress. I'm just bringing it up. If anybody else is interested, you know, mail me. Something really fun is to modify HTTP protocol.c. The web app sec org guys kind of mentioned this, Jeremiah Grossman, and HTTP.h, and modify your header error codes and things like that. One of the things that people do with fingerprinting is they identify based on case and things like that, and your errors, your 404s and 403s look a little bit different. Even though everybody's got an HTTP 1.1 implementation, they look a little bit different. So it's a way to say, oh, this is an IIS box or an Apache box. If you mangle your date and server headers and mangle your ordering of headers and do all this kind of stuff, fingerprinting will just kind of go away. So now, if enough people are running the same build, then we've got a problem. So we'll ideally work out some kind of way to randomize it. So now we're actually into the content and actually doing inspection on content and the data that's coming through. Mod line edit is set for HTML content that's being delivered. Mod line edit will let you write a regular expression for anything coming out of your site and rip it out, replace it, rewrite it, just strip it, whatever you want to do. So take out any kind of error codes from your site. Take out path information. Rewrite path information to a fake path. If it's in var:ww, rewrite it to opt:ww. You know, one of the kind of obvious ones is take out generator name and author tags, anything that would let somebody know what kind of CMS was running on the backside. Strip comments is pretty cool. Mod proxy HTML will let you put a simple one-line strip comments on and rip out all your comments out of your code. The one problem I found with it is if you're doing not quite standard XHTML with some JavaScript and things like that, it'll get a little confused, and sometimes you'll mangle some JavaScript. The answer from the developer is you have crappy XHTML and you need to fix it. But if you have that and you're trying to protect it, you may not be able to go that route. You may have to get a little more granular in how you strip comments. Same deal here, XML firewalling, mod line edit. If you take application text HTML, feed it through mod filter, and then through line edit, you can strip fault codes, you can strip, you know, C data that's outside of a set of params that is good, rip it out of the HTML before it gets out to the outside. So, also, long run, I think you can do a lot of neat stuff with basically everything, in my mind, that you can do with the XML firewall boxes with Mod Transform and Mod Publisher, which will allow you to do things like WSL enforcement and defining specific sort of lengths for fields and all this kind of stuff inside SOAP envelopes. It gets a little trickier when you've got kind of binary blobs and things like that, but I think you can do the same thing, a lot more than what you're doing probably now. So, Mod Rewrite, Mod Proxy HTML. Probably everybody knows this. This is what everybody does for like search engine optimization, which is let's take a site that's like param 1 equals value 2, value 3, blah, 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 and let's rewrite it and make it slash, slash, slash so that Googlebot likes us, right? Well, the thing about that, for one, is that if you do that, you've actually got to modify site code. So that doesn't do us any good in our scenario where we're saying this is a black box. Okay, and I'm still on search engine optimization, right? So this is black hat, shut up, right? Well, the deal is, there's a couple things with that. I've heard people say, well, we do that so we're secure. Well, it turns out, you know, there's nothing to keep somebody from making a direct request for the ASP or JSP if you do it that way. All that's doing is what's linked on your site is not displaying your whatever underlying platform. But it's still all there, and the gets will still work for all that stuff. But it's kind of cool. You're taking, you know, .aspx, and you're presenting it as, you know, slash foo, slash, you know, moo, whatever. So this is the deal. And I don't know why. Maybe more people do this. I don't know of too many people that are doing a lot with this. You can take Mod Rewrite, and you can set up a series of params. In this case, we're doing it with like the search engine optimized kind of slash value, but you could do this with a query string. It doesn't matter. Just write something that says A through Z, cap A, little a, 0 through 9, X number of characters, and set up X number of params for what's valid for your site. You know, there are ways to get through that, there are ways to defeat it, but it's a hell of a lot more than what most people have. So, now here's the deal. So, once we have that, we still have the ability to insert stuff after the fact. You know, we've got that on the front end, but, you know, we can still request the param, you know, the actual URL with params and everything directly. Okay, so put a cleanup rule. I'm a firewall guy, you know, back in the day. So put a cleanup rule. Build param lines, mod rewrite expressions for what's valid on your site. Your last rule is dot star goes to some error handler. Everything else is going to get sent to that. So if you don't match that set of expressions for what's valid on the site, everything else goes there. Along with that, I should mention, add that question mark to the end of the rewrite expression, which will rip out any queries, because then you're saying, here's my query string, and it's blank. So any kind of query strings that come in on the front end don't make it to the backside. So I intentionally ran some vulnerable stuff and set this in front of it just to see what would happen. Right now, there's a bunch of people that are hitting like some, PHP bugs and some stuff in Joomla, Mambo, Limbo, and all this stuff that are on like commos config and whether you're running in registered globals mode, etc. So I threw a bunch of boxes out there running vulnerable versions of these apps, stuck this in front of it, and just kind of, and I'm not telling you it was academic formalized kind of testing. I promise you I'll get to that point. Give me like another year. But what I found was it didn't work. You know, the little Perl-based web bots that are running around and hitting sites and then using that as a launching point for other sites to run code using the file inclusion vulnerabilities and everything else, they don't work because it doesn't match. You're doing a file include and you're saying http://badguysite.com/shell.php, and that doesn't match our expression, so it gets dropped. So, and the other one is what's kind of cool is if you use an error handler that's a custom URL like this, like errorhandler.php or whatever, you can sit and tail that and see, okay, here's my drops. You know, here's my drop log of everything that's going through. You do need to define rules down here at the bottom for anything that's like JScript, CSS, graphics, anything that doesn't match your sort of generated URLs, because otherwise that stuff's going to get dropped too, and then you'll have a site that has no graphics. People don't like that. So, works better in links. So it's fine by me, but most people kind of want, you know, banners and junk. So that takes care of GETs. And that takes care of, you know, generated URLs. But what are you going to do about validating posts? You know, you've got form fields and you've got SQL injection in your form fields and you've got, you know, username problems with all the forms on your site because there's no validation. Well, that's where you got to use mod security. For the most part, rewrite is not going to do that. It's going to look at the GET. And when you do a post, it will validate the post, but it's only going to validate the URI in the post, not the content. So set filter scan post on and then define post payloads for the things that are valid in your post. And define all those post payloads and set up expressions that are negative expressions for, you know, anything outside of, you know, a credit card number that's X number of characters and numeric. And something cool about mod security with that is that it has the check Unicode encoding stuff and check URL encoding stuff. So it's going to actually normalize all that and rip all that out. So that one is a one, you know, and there's no way around it being a one. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty much it on the form post validation. It takes a little more work, especially if you got a lot of forms, but you got to do it once. And your developers will tell you when it doesn't work again, because when they turn up a new form, it won't work, which is cool. It's kind of like firewalls, you know. If you have solid firewall rule set, somebody turns on a new service and they want to know why it doesn't work, well, that's when you add the rule in the firewall. So you get to find out. So rather than just let's pass everything to our web apps and let our developers decide what's going to go out there and be public. So some extras and extra goodies. If you don't know about gotroot.com, it's really cool. It's a group of guys. It's a lot like Bleeding Snort. It's a group of guys that are developing SIGs for kind of every active, you know, web attack at the moment, you know, and every time advisories come out and stuff, they're kind of adding stuff there. Modsecurity.org doesn't do really active maintenance of SIGs. These guys are like a community and a forum and a listserv that kind of do that. So it's, like I say, it's a lot like Bleeding Snort. You can go out and build a cron that runs nightly, hourly, whatever you want to do, pull down the latest SIGs, restart your web security gateway, and integrate SIGs for any kind of new attacks. You can also write your own, add them, submit them to these guys, contribute, join us, you know, that's cool. So, yeah, that's something definitely I would check out, gotroot.com, if you don't know about it. Write, you know, mod security SIGs for error leakage. We kind of talked about that with LineEdit. You can do the same thing there with, you know, Cold Fusion errors, ASP errors, throw them to a canned error page, rip out any kind of junk that's coming out. One thing that I've had to do in a few instances with proxy kind of stuff in general is be able to front-end proxy for SSL applications. Stunnel's a cool way to do that. You run it in client mode. You connect back to loopback. Stuff comes out and in. Now, you've got to use a lot of times proxy HTML to rewrite some of the stuff coming back, but you can proxy even and do a filtering scenario and stuff for an app that's SSL on the backside. Modauth, LDAP, DVM and everything. Good place to wrap authentication if you so choose. You kind of get a single sign-on kind of functionality out of that because your authentication is actually to the proxy. So it could work across multiple apps or load balancing, stuff like that. Mod evasive, throttle your scan, you know, slow down number of requests, limit them on to a reasonable number on a per IP. And, you know, while you're doing it, go ahead and run Snort inline. You know, why not? It's a good place for it. You've got a spot where all your web traffic is going in and out, so, you know, go ahead and throw that in there just for giggles and as a little extra. That's about it. Web Security Gateway is at wsgw.sfnet. I can't upload it because I can't use my airport card. So I guess it'll be after the con when I can get to a wired connection. Go ahead and check it out when you get back from the con. Tarballs will be out there. There's some build scripts that'll basically set this guy up and you can kind of run it and tinker. What I don't have right now and what I really need from everybody is I built it as a kind of modular Apache config where you can kind of include, you know, modsecurity.conf, include lineedit.conf, et cetera, for different kinds of filtering. What I really want to do is include joomla.conf, drupal.conf, you know, owa.conf, and have a set of standard filtering rules that you can use for any sort of canned web application and enforce these kind of things on it. So please help. And that's about it. I hope you had fun. You guys rock. Thanks.